Light the candle, Tiger!
Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm joined by Steve Palmer and Star Sports Glenn Day to look back on the Open and look ahead to a very busy and varied week of golf. We've got a WGC tournament where all the big guns are back out, except the Open champion, who is probably on his 100th pint of Guinness. We've got a slightly lesser event in America, but hopefully the boys have got loads of winners. And we've also got the British Seniors Open. So the lads will be seeing which round belly they fancy. First of all, I want you to give a mark out of 10 to the British Open. No, the Open, sorry. How it went for betting and then how much you enjoyed it as a tournament. Steve, what are your two marks out of 10?
As a neutral, I'd give it a 10 out of 10. I thought it was a fantastic course, fantastic result, really likeable character. Betting-wise, I'd give it a 1 out of 10 because I'm kicking myself for various different reasons. I'll let Glenn give his marks and then I'll come back to you on that.
Okay, what are yours, Glenn?
I'll give it a 5 for betting. Tony Finau managed to bail me out, back to him at your post, 80 to 1. I mean, he was bigger than that on the machine come the race. But the course itself was absolutely fantastic. I wouldn't quite give it a 10, because like most links courses, without the protection of the weather in the first 3 days, it was very scoreable, very gettable. If it was like Sunday every day, I think there'd be great contests. But 9, but fantastic on the eye. And I mean, everybody played and said they enjoyed it. So yeah, good week all round, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all love Shane Lowry even, but Steve Lowry was an old US Tour player, wasn't he? Didn't there used to be one called Steve Lowry? Yeah, it was Shane Lowry, obviously, won it. I think when you hunker down for the final day of a major, you do want it to be a little bit closer, don't you? We've had so many of these runaway major wins. What price was Lowry at the start of the week, Glenn?
Start of the week, he was 66s.
Did you do much damage there?
No, nothing. It's literally friendless. I mean, Paul McGinley on TV was tipping him up. You've got to fancy him, local, played the course before, but no one wanted to know. Absolutely friendless. We had a bit in play during the second round and early in the third round, but overall, very good result for us. But say, absolutely friendless pre-tournament.
The Glenn Day bonus is looking good, is it, on the back of that? Steve, I mean, when you say you're kicking yourself, you're the only person I know who probably actually does kick yourself. Have you ever kicked yourself during a...
Yeah. On Saturday night of the Open, I was doing all sorts to myself. I was so angry. I mean, John Rahm just bogeyed the final hole to make his final round task much more difficult. And then Lowry just put the afterburners on and just birding every hole coming in. And yeah, I was distraught on Saturday. Now I'm kicking myself because I spent ages talking about how Rory McIlroy knows the course well and he's got that edge. Hardly anyone had played this course competitively. But I didn't give enough respect to how well Lowry had played the course in the past. In the 2007 North of Ireland Amateur Championship, he lost in the final. Then the following year, he won that tournament. So he's massively course-proven, links natural, and playing really well. We were all
You've been tipping him, haven't you?
The Canadian Open last month, he was our headline tip. He was in such a good frame of mind over the last few months, ever since he moved back to Ireland. And he's been playing really good, and he's a links natural. I'm just so angry that I didn't have him in my list. I mean, I think what put me off was in a tighter finish. There's been times in a tight finish where Lowry has not had that killer instinct, and I think in a tighter finish he might have been tested, but he didn't. It wasn't in a tight finish. He blew them all away on the Saturday. I mean, the Saturday felt like a Sunday, didn't it? The celebrations as he was coming up 18 on the Saturday. I think everyone knew that he's got more than one hand on the jug here, one and a half hands on the jug. And I as much as I love Shane Lowry, I think he's a great character, great bloke. Really pleased for him. I was so angry that I didn't have him. And I hate myself.
Don't be so hard on yourself, Steve. It's just golf. It's just betting. Everyone loves you still, mate. I've got a good little hard luck story. Round about March, April time, I noticed that Robert McIntyre was playing well on the European Tour. And I thought, I wonder if this guy's got a bit of links pedigree. I wasn't sure. I thought, he's Scottish, so he must do. So I backed him at 300 to 1 for the Open each way, 5 places. So he finishes quite early on Sunday with a 500, I think, and gets himself into about 600 or whatever, 500. And I thought, oh, well, he's still got 20 in front of him. But one by one, as the wind started blowing, they're all coming back to him. And in actual fact, Fowler needed to hole a putt on the last to make sure that McIntyre finished tied sixth. If I'd waited, I'd have got 10 places. It was so galling. Never mind.
That is the game with the places, isn't there? There's so many different place terms available out there. I mean, John Rahm finished at 11th, you know, you're top 10, so you can't kick yourself on that one. But with that one, obviously, you're kicking yourself to high heaven. I mean, that was his major debut, McIntyre's major debut. Cool as a cucumber. And finished tied sixth. You know, he's only 23. He's got a big future ahead of him.
I like him. So he's my player to take out of the Open. Who's yours, Steve?
Well, yeah, McIntyre, fantastic. But the other one that was a real eye-catcher was Doc Redman. Doc Redman, another player we've been following lately. That was his Open debut. Finished tied 20th, four solid rounds. Got to be impressed with that. He's only 21 years of age. He was runner-up in the Rocket Mortgage Classic the other day. So, yeah, keep your eye on Doc Redman.
And a shout out there, by the way, to the excellent Nick Doherty, who was commentating when Redman had smashed it into the rough and he had to chop it out sideways. And he said, the doc's just got to take his medicine there. Very good indeed. Who's your player to take out of the Open, Glenn?
I think I've got two stars by him, like you, Bruce, Robert McIntyre, and just underneath him, Tyrrell Hatton. He's coming back to form, obviously, like Sink's Golf. They're two already for your shortlist for the Daniel Links, I think. Robert McIntyre be back at home in Scotland again. He does. He looks a fantastic player. I mean, again, he must win, if not this season, certainly next season. And, yeah, it looks a kid going places.
Before we look ahead to this week's tournament, I just want a quick word on Sky's coverage. I watched far too much more than I should have done. They're missing Butch Harmon so badly. They really are. But I've got to say this. I think Wayne Riley is taking his game from strength to strength on the fairways. I think he's absolutely brilliant. I like Nick Doherty very much. I can have been. The rest, not for me. What do you reckon, Steve?
Yeah, I think that assessment's fair. I mean, yeah, the biggest tournament of the year, when you get sort of Laura Davies and Richard Boxall in the commentary box together, you're sort of asking serious questions, aren't you? I mean, yeah, but you know, I doubt they sacked Butch. I expect Butch has just had enough and wants to just relax a bit, doesn't he?
That's exactly it. He's fed up with... No, there's a story. Apparently, he's done with travelling, so he just wants to chill out now and do his thing on the west coast of America. Did you enjoy it, Glenn?
Yeah, it was all right. I agree. Like you, Wayne Riley, I've always been a fan of him. Fantastic on calls. Good insight. Obviously, he was a good player in his day. He's funny. And Nick Doherty, like, hosting the programmes now. Again, you know, not that far off of playing. He was 10th in the US Open not that long ago, so he can give good insight as well. I think they're a good team. I do like Ewan Murray as well in the commentary box. I think he's always done a good job. Overall, they're good, yeah. Butch Harmon would improve it, obviously, but yeah, I think they do a good job overall, yeah.
Okay, right then, let's crack on with this week's tournament, starting with the WGC FedEx St Jude Invitational at Southwind. Steve, in your preview, you said that not many players know this course. I know this course so well because I used to play it on a particular video game in the mid-90s absolutely exhaustively. So I've got this course burnt onto my memory. I know I could caddy for all these people. But that's not going to help us pick the winner. Before the lads give you their tips, let's get a show of betting from Star Sports, Glenn.
Yeah, a quarter of the odds, the first five places, obviously a limited field this week. 9-1, Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy. 11-1, Brooks Koepka. 12-1, John Rahm. 14-1, Justin Thomas. 18-1, Patrick Cantlay. 22-1, Justin Rose, Tommy Fleetwood, Xander Schauffele. 28-1, Henrik Stenson, and 30-1, Hideki Matsuyama and Tony Finau.
And what's the tournament rating, Glenn?
The rating, obviously, a WGC event, a 9.
A 9. Okay, well, they're all there apart from Lowry, as we said. And Steve, who's the main selection?
Main selection is Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka, an ice cold putter at the Open. Really frustrating week on the green. Seemingly every time they cut to him, he was missing a short putt. But ball striking wise, he was fantastic, particularly for the first 3 days. He didn't play an Open warm up event, so I think he struggled on the linksy greens. But he's going to prefer the greens at Southwind, the Bermuda greens. He's a Floridian. He grew up playing on Bermuda greens. I think if he marries that supreme ball striking that he had at the Open last week with more typical putting performance, I think he's the man to beat. Yeah, Southwind, you know it well from your days on the Mega Drive or whatever it is, but it requires tee to green excellence. You've got very tight fairways, very small greens, and Koepka was the man for the job. His major results, 2-1, 2-4, and he's walking away from the majors seemingly disappointed. I mean, anyone else with those major figures would be cock-a-hoop. And yeah, a lot of people are suggesting now that he's just going to down tools until the Masters. But that's a ridiculous assumption, I think, because now the majors are out of the way, he's going to focus on the most prestigious regulation events. The WGCs are the top of that list. There's only five tournaments left until the end of the US Tour season. So I think he's going to put it all in for those five events. And then he can put his feet up and head off to the Maldives or whatever he wants to do. But I think you're going to have a focus Brooks Koepka this week. He won to win a first FedEx Cup. He's never won the FedEx Cup. He's never won the US money list. He's top of both of those lists at the moment. So, and he wants to stay world number one for as long as possible. There's plenty of reason to be motivated. He's starting to stretch clear of Dustin Johnson at the top of the world rankings. I think there's a real chance for him now to cement himself as the undisputed top dog the way Dustin's playing.
He's not drawn with that bastard JB Holmes, is he?
Well, exactly. No, he won't have JB Holmes to worry about this week.
That was an absolute disgrace. Why don't they police slow play properly?
Well, it made it very difficult for Koepka. He was pointing to his watch. He left the 12th green and started pointing to an imaginary watch. He was getting really frustrated. He's very outspoken about slow play. So, yeah, it was a terrible draw for Koepka, who's one of the fastest players in the business. So to still finish fourth with an ice-cold putter and playing with Holmes on the final day is a big performance, I think, from Koepka last week. And Southwind is a much, much, much better option for him. He's thrived there in the past when he was a lesser light. In 2014, when he was a nobody, he finished 19th. He finished third in 2015. He finished second in 2016. This is all in the St. Jude Classic, which was an annual US Tour event before it switched to a WGC. So he's returning there as a major champion now, four-time major champion. I think Koepka's the man to beat.
Lovely stuff. That's a very, very compelling case there. Who are you going to put up as your main tip, Glenn?
This week I'm going to put up my main tip, Justin Thomas. Slowly coming back into form. Good start to the season. He's obviously sustained that wrist injury. Withdrew from the PGA, stating that the wrist hadn't fully healed. Came back at Memorial, missed the cut, his second round 80, which was a concern. Obviously, still feeling the wrist. Recently, though, 20th in the Canadian Open, missed cut again in the US Open, but shot two rounds of 73, so not, you know, far off the pace. 36th at the Travelers, but it's the last 2 weeks that have really caught my eye on courses and in conditions that he wouldn't necessarily be familiar with. 9th in the Scottish Open, where he shot 67, 64, 70 and 65, and last week 11th place at the Open. Yes, a fair way behind Shane Lowry, who was lights out, but four solid rounds of golf. Comes here as the defending champion, admittedly a different course, no previous experience, not necessarily a big factor though. Recent winners here, Daniel Berger, Harris English, Lee Westwood and Dustin Johnson all won at their first attempt here. Iron play has been the strength of his game recently. He does need to improve his putting stats. He's more than capable of doing that. In the first five tournaments this year, he ranked 15th, 1st, 14th, 3rd and 19th. In putts per green in regulation. This week, he'll be putting on Bermuda greens, which he definitely enjoys. In fact, his first five PGA Tour wins were all on similar greens. Other key stats for the season, second in greens in regulation, second in birdie average, eighth in scoring average, third strokes gained approach to green, second strokes gained tee to green. It's all coming together. It looks like he's fully over the wrist injury there. Nine-time Tour winner. He's not won since this tournament last season, but his barren spell could come to an end this week.
Jolly good. Steve, as well as Koepka, who are you putting up?
My next best is Billy Horschel. Top two tips are Floridians who grew up playing Bermuda greens. Horschel enjoy these greens. He's got a dismal links record, dismal open record. So I'm not concerned about his miscut in the open last week. He didn't play a warm-up event. I think he realised it was a tough ask for him. Before that, he was ninth in the Memorial last month. He closed with a 64 for 17th place in the Rocket Mortgage Classic in his outing preceding the Open. So he's having a really consistent campaign. Former FedEx Cup champion, so happily building towards the playoffs. He's done enough to get himself in the mix for that. And Southwind is a perfect layout for greens and regulation machines like him. From 2012 through 2018, he played in six St. Jude Classics. He made the cut every time. He posted four top tens, including fourth place in 2017. So, yeah, an ideal layout for Billy Horschel. And, yeah, he'd be my next best. At big prices, 66-1.
And two more from you?
Two more from me, yeah. Two more. Four against the field. Webb Simpson. Webb Simpson's finished in the top 30 in eight consecutive majors now. He's become one of the most consistent performers on the planet. He was fifth in the Masters in April, second in the Canadian Open last month. And his short game has improved so much that he actually tops the US Tour scrambling statistics. It's a staggering stat there when you consider how much he struggled with his putting in years gone by. So, yeah, there's no weaknesses in his game now. And Southwind is a track which suits him well. He's not been a regular starter there, but he was third in 2014. And that's in the 2014 St. Jude Classic. And lots of short hitters have won at this course. I mean, your man David Toms, he's had a lot of success at this course. John Cook, Bob Esters, Justin Leonard, Jeff Maggot, Woody Austin, Brian Gay, Ben Crane, Fabian Gomez. All these short straight hitters have won at Southwind. Webb Simpson fits into that category. And I like the fact he's lightly raced, to use horse racing parlance. He didn't play between the US Open and the Open. He's fresher than most. This is the first time we've had a WGC straight after a major. A lot of tired players in this field. It's an overseas major as well. But I think Simpson's fresh as a daisy. And then my final one, four against the field, another big prize, Kevin Kisner. Kevin Kisner, like Simpson, very tidy player, putts well, loves Bermuda greens. And he's seeking back-to-back WGC victories. He won the WGC match play at the end of March. That's made him a FedEx Cup runner. Obviously, needs to finish the season strongly. But I think Kisner would be really, really focused for this one. He's a very jovial, sort of carefree character. And he admits there's hardly any courses on the US Tour these days that he can win on because he's not a big hitter. But because they've all been lengthened so much. But Southwind, he will know he can compete at Southwind, given the history of the Honours Board. He did well in the St. Jude Classic when just starting out in his career, when he was a long way down the world rankings, when he was a rookie maiden, he had some good results there. Then he dropped it from his schedule. Now he comes back for the first time as a US Tour champion, three-time US Tour champion. So, yeah, I think Kisner could threaten victory number four on Sunday.
Is he carefree? He always struck me as a bit of a sort of terrier, like, you know, a very serious kind of snappy player.
No, off the course, he likes to drink and he likes messing about. Yeah, he's quite a serious character on the course. He looks quite serious again, but he's very free with his comments. He turns up at some majors and just says, "I've got no chance. I'll probably miss the cut," because he's so frustrated with how long some of these courses have become now. And bombers are sort of taking over the circuit, but there are certain courses that are left, like TPC Southwind, where the shorter hitters can be competitive.
Smashing. Okay, then. Justin Thomas is your main tip, Glenn. How many others are you going to put up?
Just the one. Someone else at the front of the market. Rory McIlroy. The main reason being his bounce back ability. His second cut he's missed this year. I'm going to bore you with this stat. In the last 5 years, he has missed the cut back-to-back twice. But if you include it after missed cuts, his form figures are 14, 9, 9, 3, 3, 31, 17, 4, 58, 20, 1, 2, 12, and first this year in the Canadian Open.
I think that shows good work, Glenn. I'm impressed with that.
Obviously, a very emotional week for him last week. He did that interview with Tim Barster on the Friday. Very disappointed at the way he played. That suggests that he can get it out of his system quickly. There might be a bit more of a hangover after Ireland. We all know he's having a fantastic season. 10 top 10s, 2 wins, the players in the Canadian Open. He's been in the top 5, I think. Yes, top 5 in driving distance in every tournament he's played where he's made the cut, which I think, again, is amazing stat in itself. That will help him. He's accurate, as we know. It's lots of greens and regular, and his putting has been really good this year. Figures very hard in those stats as well. As I say, he wants to put the record straight. He's got a fantastic record in World Golf Championships. Yeah, loads of top 10s, couple of wins. Hasn't won one since 2015. I think he would have put it all right this week, and I can see him having another big week. He could tear this place apart.
Interesting that. Very interesting. Yeah, no, that interview was very emotional, wasn't it? I did feel for him. Even Tim Barter was welling up, wasn't he? It was a real heartstring tugger. Right, let's spin through some of the other guys at the top of the market. I just want a quick line on each of them. What do you make of Dustin, Steve?
Yeah, two-time Southwind champion. He's the only course winner in the field. He's an emphatic winner in the last St. Jude Classic, won by 6 shots. But he hasn't really been the same player since he lost that USPGA, finished second in USPGA to Brooks Koepka, and has been rubbish since.
Okay, John Rahm, Glenn?
Yeah, just still playing well. I mean, he didn't have the tournament he would have liked last week, but a final finished in place of tied 11th. Couple of wins this season, yeah, you wouldn't put anyone off. Yeah, got the game to win here.
Okay, Patrick Cantley, Steve.
Yeah, good chance, but one of many that are making their course debut. There's a lot of elite players there, like Matsuyama, Rahm, and Patrick Cantley, seeing Southland for the first time, which puts me off.
Okay, what do you make of Justin Rose's chances, Glenn?
Not a fan this way, I must admit. He's been playing well consistently, really went off the rails the weekend last week. Although he's always consistently involved, not necessarily right at the business end, there's something still not quite clicking, Justin Rose. I'm not quite sure what it is yet, but he wouldn't be for me this week.
Xander Schauffele disappointing at Royal Portrush. Steve, can he bounce back?
I think he can bounce back. He was put off early on, wasn't he, by his driver, was deemed illegal by the RNA. Yeah. So he was very disappointed that the RNA made that public. He thought that should be a sort of private matter, put him right off his stride. He was getting some abuse on the range, wasn't he? Some fellow player called him a cheater, just really? in jest. Yeah, someone just shouted, "Oh, there goes the cheater," in jest. But he obviously didn't take that very well.
He must have temperament problems if he's letting little things like that get to him. He's already must have 20 million in the bank and he's crying over little things like that.
It's the ultimate slur though, isn't it? I remember at school when one of my PE teachers called me a cheater because I bowled at full pace. We were playing cricket, a mixed game of cricket. Sorry, I've gone off a bit of a tangent, but playing a mixed game of cricket. And I was really good bowler and I was asked to bowl sort of slower to the girls. And I just thought this is a farce. You know, we're trying to learn how to become world-class cricketers here. So I bowled my normal pace and it caught the girl right in the crotch and she started crying. And I obviously apologised. I wasn't aiming for the crotch. I was aiming for the wicket. And it's plum LBW. Plum LBW. She should have just walked.
How could it have been LBW if you're in the crotch? How tall was she? 2 foot?
We were very young. It's probably secondary school. But the thing that bothered me, like a couple of months later, I got my school report and I was branded a cheat in there. And I was fuming. They weren't cheating. I was just bowling well. So I see why Pele got so angry there.
Okay. Yeah. Where were we? Tommy Fleetwood, Glenn.
I can't follow that. Tommy Fleetwood, can't put anyone off him. Solid game. Did nothing wrong last week, just ran into an inspired player. But still, a couple of years since his last win. That's the only question mark with Tommy Fleetwood. He's not getting over the line often enough. But he's got all the tools and deserves his place in the market where he sits.
Okay, right then. If you are watching this, we presume you like a golf bet. You may also like a football bet, in which case you need this. It is the fantastic Racing Post and Racing and Football Outlook guide to the 2019-2020 season. If you look at the design, it says Football Annual 1920. It's not a 100-year-old book, I promise you. It's this season, and it's absolutely packed with superb stats, features, tips, and predictions from all the great Racing Post and Racing and Football Outlook judges. It's only £12.99, an essential tool you can buy at racingpost.com/shop. Okay, let's move on from the main event of this week, which is the WGC event at St Jude, to the Barracuda Championship in Reno, Nevada. And heading the market here, Glenn, is a guy who's been getting the big up all year on the Postcast. Take it away with the show.
Yeah, 50 odds, first 6 places for this one. 12-1, Colin Morikawa. 16-1, Martin Keimer. 18-1, Daniel Berger and Martin Laird. 22-1, Emiliano Grillo. 25-1, Russell Henley. 28-1, Brendan Steele, Denny McCarthy, Ryan Palmer and Sepp Straka. And 30-1, Bill Huss.
And this isn't going to have a tournament rating of 9, Glenn, is it?
No, this one received a lowly 3.
A 3. Goodness me. Right, we'll stick with you, Glenn, for the main selection. Who are you going to go for?
Main selection, against my better judgment, I'm going to go for Martin Keimer. Tipped him up a few weeks ago when he threw away the BMW International Open. I crossed him off my list to follow in the coming weeks after that. Leading at halfway is such a disappointing third round. But that round aside, he's continued to show good form, improvement in all departments. Since finished 9th in the Irish Open and 20th in the Scottish Open. Would have been disappointed to miss out last week, obviously. He's green in regulation set to top draw, recently ranking 8th in the US Open, 7th at the BMW Open, 7th in Ireland and 3rd in Scotland. And in the belief that trend continues this week, he'll give himself loads of opportunities. Putting been slightly off recently, but the format of the Barracuda dictates aggression. And if finding greens as usual, it may be only on the greens where he needs to get aggressive, and hopefully that can see an upturn in his fortunes. He did rank number 2 in putts for green in regulation at Memorial not too long ago. He is the class act in the field, and he can put a long overdue success on the board.
We've got a picture in the paper with your preview, Steve, of the Montreux Golf and Country Club. It looks absolutely beautiful. Mountains and pine trees and all sorts. It looks great. Is it a fiddly track or a bomber's paradise?
Well, the tricky element of it is how far altitude it is. So the ball flies a lot further. So even seasoned veterans who've been there many years struggle to get their yardages right. So, I mean, Colin Morikawa, as you pointed out, we're a big fan of him on this podcast. I think Colin Morikawa is going places fast, but it's a big ask to come here on your course debut and adjust straight away to Montreux. So I'm not going for him this week. I'm going for a much more experienced campaign around these here parts, and it's Brendan Steele. He's played there 5 times before. This is his 6th Reno start, and he's finished no worse than 25th on his previous visits. He was 8th in 2012, 4th in 2013, then 25th, 7th and 5th for his 3 latest spins. So massively course proven, and the Barracuda format favours him. He's powerful, attacking. He's got eagles in him. If you make an eagle this week, that's 5 points. You know, it's a Stableford format.
Oh God, we need to mention that, don't we? Take us through that.
Yeah, so 5 points for an eagle, 2 points for a birdie, 0 for pars, -1 for bogeys, -3 for double bogeys or worse. So basically, it's a format that encourages attacking golf, because birdies mean more than bogeys mean less, if you know what I mean. So still likes that, the freedom that comes with that. And he's got steady recent US Tour form figures. He was 21st in the Travelers Championship a month ago, and in a much better field than this one. He's a 3-time US Tour champion, and the first of those victories came in a really windy Texas Open, and there's forecast for a lot of breeze this week. I think everything points to Brendan Steele. I thought Forties was a steal.
All right. Okay. Well as Kamer, who are you going to go for, Glenn?
I'm going for another Martin in the field. Martin Laird, excuse me. Played well last week in the Barbasol, finished 6th. If it weren't for that, he probably wouldn't even have made my shortlist, even though he's got very, very good course form. When it was a regular stroke play event, he finished 4th and 2nd here, going back to 2008 and 2009. And since the format change, 2014 finished 6th, 2016 finished 7th, 2018 15th. Last time he won on tour was 2013 in the Texas Open, where he beat Rory McIlroy, funny enough, and shot a 63 in the last round. He's got the ability to go low, long off the tee, then the altitude goes even further, probably contributes to him playing well around here. I can see another big week in store for Martin Laird. Price is a bit restrictive, almost nearly probably as well, but because of his course form around here, I'm going to stick him up as well.
Rightio, and 2 more for you, Steve, including a perennial favourite of yours, a new addition to the 2019 Tipping Stable.
That's it, Denny McCarthy, the best putter on the US Tour, still tops the US Tour strokes gained putting stats, 10th on the US Tour total birdie stats, so he should make bundles of Stableford points, 2 points for a birdie. McCarthy often throws in a loose swing and destroys his scorecard in one go, but he can't do that in this format. You know, -3 is as bad as it gets. Get a birdie, that's 2/3 of those strokes back. So I like McCarthy in this format. He's got 3 top 25 finishes in his last 4 events, including 11th spot in the Barbasol Championship last time out. He's had a spin round here before, 36th last year. So I think McCarthy will go much better second time around. And then the final one, yes, only 3 tips. Harris English is the final one. He turned 30 years of age this week, and he's a 2-time US Tour champion, but both of those wins were in 2013. He was expected to become a world-class player, major champion. He had the world at his feet, but his career has stalled, unfortunately. But he's never really lost his putting stroke. He's always putted well. He rolls his rock well, and I think that gives him a good chance of contending in the Barracuda. Again, a bit like McCarthy, he's got a loose shot in him, a really destructive loose shot, but the fairways are wide at Montreux. The greens are big. and I see him holding enough birdie putts to contend. The last 4 months have been really encouraging for English. Definite signs of life. And if he is coming back, the Barracuda is the place where he's going to win.
Okay. Have we got any television coverage this week, Steve, on this?
Tragically not. No. We've got to just follow it on our various devices.
I'm not quite sure that represents a tragedy because it would be very late. But yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? Never mind. Right then. The other big event on the golf scene this week is the Senior Open taking place at Royal Lytham and St Anne's. Glenn, have you got a show from Star Sports for us?
We have indeed. 8-1 Retief Goosen, 17-2 Jerry Kelly, 10-1 Bernhard Langer, 12-1 Scott Parel, 14-1 Miguel Angel Jimenez, 16-1 Fred Couples, 22-1 Billy Andrade, and Paul Broadhurst, 25-1 Colin Montgomery, 28-1 Woody Austin, and 30-1 Philip Price.
Some great old some great old names there, and I'm sure if you pop along to Lytham, you'll have a great time following those around the links. Who's your main? Well, I think you're going to have one selection each, aren't we? Who are you going to go for, Glenn?
I'm going to be really boring and go for the favourite, Retief Goosen.
You've been really boring all this week, haven't you? We've got two of the favourites in St Jude, we've got two of the favourites in Montreux, and a favourite here, Glenn. Come on, what's up with you?
I've got a big prize one. I had a big prize one in the Barracuda. You didn't ask me what my other two selections were.
Oh, God. Oh, we'll revert back to that in that case. Let's do that right this minute. Sorry, my friend. I thought you were going for Kamer and Laird. I thought that was it.
I'm just doing as I'm told, Bruce. You're leading the program.
No. Let's go back. Come on. Who have you got?
No, it's nothing, mate. I mean, my third tip was going to be Brendan Steele, which obviously Steve's cover, so I don't need to go with that one. The last one was a guy called Charlie Danielson. So a name that I'm sure not too many people have heard of. First noticed him in the coverage for the US Open. What I saw of him looked quite decent. Bit of research. He's been all over the place recently. Played on the McKenzie Tour, the Latino American Tour, obviously the Corn Ferry Tour, and he did a handful of starts on the PGA. He missed the whole of 2018 after having a third knee surgery. He's obviously dodgy knees. His first one was when he was in middle school. But every year he has a solid finish somewhere. He was 22nd in the John Deere in 2016. He's got two appearances in the Barracuda, so he's got previous course knowledge. And in his start in the 3M Open this year, he finished 15th. His driving actually stats are pretty good, and he ranked 5th in putting in the 3M Open. A young man trying to find his way on a golfing tour, the idiosyncratic format that it is, may well seem spring a bit of a surprise. I'll put him up at 125-1.
Well played, Glenn.
Favourite, Bruce.
Yes, no, I apologise for besmirching you there. Very intrepid. Okay, but you're going to go back to the top of the market for the seniors.
Yeah, go for Goosen. I was always a fan when he was playing. He won two US Opens. Obviously, I haven't done a lot of research for this. Won his first senior open the other week, beating Stricker and the like. Obviously, Steve Stricker rules the roost with the fat bellies these days, so no mean achievement. Played in plenty of opens in his time. A few of the Yanks haven't come over for this one. So 8-1, actually, probably when you go down the list, looks fair value. So I think he'll definitely put in a good performance this week.
Okay, and Steve, who are you going to put up?
I don't really follow the round bellies, but I've heard rumours that Darren Clarke is 100-1 for this, which seems ridiculously big to me. I mean,
I think he's 50s, actually.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
When I used to get involved in this sort of thing, it was always the young men that I used to go for. Young mans.
Young old men, you mean?
Because young old men, yeah. Because when you get to the your mid 50s, your late 50s, 60s, that, yeah, every year takes more out of you in those years. Do you know what I'm getting at?
Tell me about it. Yeah, I know. Speak from experience, bitter experience.
So I think Clarkey is 50 years old? So I'd rather back a 50-year-old than a 53-year-old.
I've got to say, though, Steve, I mean, we love Darren Clarke, but when I saw him in the early stages of Thursday's round, I couldn't believe how big he got.
Yeah, well, he enjoys himself, doesn't
he? He does. Fair play.
Yeah. No, he's done his business. But, yeah, the idea that he comes into the senior circuit and is being dismissed, I don't agree with that. I think he's still got plenty of ability, and as I say, he's a young man.
Okie doke. Right, well, if you want more comprehensive previews of the Senior Open and indeed the Evian Championship, the Master Jeremy Chapman, it's all there on the in the Racing Post today, as well as much more comprehensive tournament guides to the two we've already covered. All the stats, all the prices, all the form. So a Wednesday Racing Post is a must for all golf fans. Let's do the solemn tipping recap. WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational. Steve Palmer.
Brooks Koepka, Billy Horschel, Webb Simpson, Kevin Kisner.
Glenn Day.
Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy.
And the Barracuda Championship, Steve Palmer.
Brendan Steele, Denny McCarthy, Harris English.
And Glenn.
Martin Keimer, Martin Laird, Brendan Steele and Charlie Danielson.
Should we throw the Senior Open as official tips, or do you not want them as official ones, Steve?
I like them being unofficial.
Okay, right. Well, anyway, Glenn's gone for Goosen and you've gone for Darren Clark. That's fine. Right then, one golf bet this week. What is it? Who is it, Glenn?
I've had it already. Justin Thomas, Martin Keimer, each way double.
Lovely. That had come to a few quid. And Steveland.
I'm tempted to just have a single, Brendan Steele each way single, but if Glenn's getting involved in the doubles, I'm almost contractually obliged to get involved in the doubles.
No, go with the single. Stand your ground. Don't follow the crowd.
All right, Brendan Steele each way single.
But if you were doing a double,
Brooks Koepka each way double with Brendan Steele. Yeah.
Do you fancy Steele more than Koepka? Your case for Koepka was compelling.
Yeah. Just on value grounds, I think the 40-1 Steele is a better price than the 11-1 Koepka. But Koepka probably the more likely winner. But almost certainly the more likely winner. But I'm really quite excited about Brendan Steele. I think he was too easily dismissed, far too deeper down the betting than he should have been.
So how will you follow it? With the old shot link on the PGA Tour website, yeah?
Yeah, you're right. It does finish there. I remember back Patrick Rogers for this many moons ago. I was just lying in bed at like 11:30 looking at my phone and, or was it getting on for midnight actually, and he finished second. It was a devastating blow, but it's a shame we can't watch
you. Those are the moments when you text me and say there must be more to life than this, aren't they?
yeah, absolutely.
Anything exciting coming up between now and next Wednesday when we reconvene to look at the Wyndham Championship, Steve?
Well, it's been a very busy period, isn't it? Four majors in 4 months. I haven't seen much of the family, and the circus is in the town. So, I've promised to take him to the circus on Saturday or Sunday. I can't remember what's
it. I love a circus. Absolutely superb entertainment. Different class. Glenn, what have you got lined up?
No, very quiet weekend, if I'm honest. Working Saturday and Sunday, so nothing special at all.
Okey-dokey. Right, I will be back on Friday to look ahead to the King George. We've got a Racing Review podcast with Maddie and the gang on Monday. And then, like I said, we're back on Wednesday looking ahead to the Wyndham Championship. If you do enjoy these podcasts, please do make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you are watching or listening.
Give them the horn!